I'm Naomi Mason, and this podcast is about the role of intermediaries in the family courts. Intermediaries have the first active new role at trial for hundreds of years. Since 2004, they've been working with witnesses in police interviews and criminal courts, more recently with defendants, and increasingly in the family courts. And yet, it is possible that you have not yet worked with or even heard of them. So who are these intermediaries and what can they offer? An intermediary is a highly skilled communication specialist who is commissioned by the court to facilitate communication with a vulnerable person. That person may have a learning disability, a mental health condition, a brain injury, or a progressive illness such as Parkinson's, or they may simply be vulnerable because of being young. Whatever the underlying reason, the vulnerable person may have difficulties accessing and participating in a system which relies on tradition and on a great deal of complex spoken and written language. Intermediaries come from a range of professional disciplines. Many of them are qualified and experienced speech and language therapists who have carried out additional training for the intermediary role. Others are from a psychology background. Those working as an intermediary with young children may be experienced teachers. What they all have in common is a specialist knowledge of assessing someone's communication strengths and difficulties, and a common sense and pragmatic approach to how a vulnerable person can best be assisted to understand and express themselves in court. Intermediaries fall under the criteria of special measures in court. This is that their involvement is seen as an adaptation to a hearing or trial. Intermediaries challenge the justice system at all levels by advising and working with police officers, lawyers, judges, magistrates, witness service supporters, and court personnel to maximise communication effectiveness. They may, for example, help police officers plan how to ask questions at interview or suggest ways in which the environment for questioning is adapted to minimise anxiety so that the person can give their best evidence. Their role, if and when a vulnerable person gives evidence, is simply this: to ensure that they understand the questions asked, are able to give the answer they wish to give, and that the key players in court understand the answers given. However, the role may be much broader when working with parties in family courts. In addition to assistance at the time of giving evidence, these vulnerable people may also need to help to understand the whole of the case and to instruct their legal team. An important concept to grasp is that an intermediary is not on anyone's side, but an impartial officer of the court with the sole job of facilitating communication between all parties. So how does an intermediary work out the individual communication needs of a vulnerable person? Prior to the commencement of proceedings, the intermediary will carry out a detailed assessment. This is different from a psychological assessment because it concentrates solely on communication. The intermediary will investigate the person's communication skills, gain knowledge of their communicative weaknesses, and explore strategies that will assist during their trial or hearing. The assessment will be specifically tailored to each individual. So what happens next? The intermediary writes a report for the court which outlines specific recommendations of how proceedings could be adapted so that the vulnerable person is able to participate effectively. The report will describe the communication difficulties, general recommendations for communicating with him or her, and recommendations specific to if or when the person gives evidence. It should also cover three umbrella areas of communication. Firstly, attention and concentration. This is a fundamental part of communication. We must be able to concentrate on what someone is saying in order to process and understand it. Many people with disabilities might find it difficult to concentrate for longer than a few minutes at a time, particularly in an unfamiliar environment where they are tempted to look around and be distracted by the novelty of a room they have not been in before. Someone with an autistic spectrum condition may be hypersensitive to noise and therefore find the buzz of the electric lights or the rustling of paper excruciatingly painful to their ears, in a similar way to how some people respond to fingernails scraping down a blackboard. Secondly, the report should cover their understanding of language and how that person processes and retains what's being said to them. A person with a learning disability may know the meanings of substantially fewer words than someone who has no learning disability and who has been exposed to much wider life experience. Words such as vehicle, accommodation, assist may mean nothing to them, but using everyday words such as car, house, and help may give them a better chance of participating. This is before we even get to phrases such as reasonable adjustments, balance of probability, and burden of proof. Thirdly, the report should cover the issue of how much language any person can take in at once. If you have ever asked directions to somewhere, you will know exactly how frustrating it feels to be overloaded. Using short sentences or questions and giving ample time for the vulnerable person to process what you have said before expecting them to reply is the best way forward. Advocates under considerable time pressure might find this difficult, but well worth the effort. People with limited understanding of language may struggle to understand turns of phrase or figurative speech. Anyone who's learned a foreign language will know that some expressions, if understood literally, may cause considerable misunderstanding. For example, in Spanish, esta como una cabra means literally, he is like a goat, although it means to be a little different. In French, il a un poil de main means literally, he has a hair in his hand, but is used non-literally to mean that the person is lazy. In English, idioms such as hit the nail on the head, feeling under the weather, and it is important we don't cut corners may well be problematic. We may think we can get around this by asking the person if they've understood, but they may not realise that they've misunderstood, and even if they do realise, they may not want to tell you. Also, they may feel there is a stigma attached to not understanding. And let's face it, we all sometimes pretend we have understood, in the hope that in time we will get more information that might make it clearer. It should also cover how well the vulnerable person is able to speak and express themselves. This is particularly important during evidence. The vulnerable person may have very simple sentence structures, unclear speech, or perhaps a stammer, which is intensified by the court setting. Lawyers may not be experienced in facilitating clear and coherent evidence from people with these difficulties. An experienced intermediary may be able to assist in the evidence being clear, coherent, and accurate, and also save time. Other issues the report may need to take into consideration include literacy and mental health. Witnesses and respondents may be required to read and understand complex written information in advance, remember the content, and then navigate around documents during the hearing. Putting myself in their shoes, so to speak, I would find it difficult and exhausting to navigate a complex document that is in small print and contains jargon. How much worse must it be for the person with limited literacy? Mental health conditions bring with them a plethora of potential communication difficulties. It is so difficult to concentrate when being distracted by hearing voices or seeing things in the room that other people cannot see. Anxiety and depression will not only affect attention span, but may also impact on the person's desire to communicate and their ability to use the communication skills they have to the best of their ability. Moreover, any feelings of paranoia may be exacerbated by being questioned by someone who is writing down everything you say. So what happens next? The intermediary's role is around enabling the vulnerable person to give best evidence and will only be involved in proceedings on the day or days that evidence is being given. At the time of the witness giving evidence, the intermediary supports communication between the witness and other parties to ensure that the questions being asked are presented in an appropriate way and the evidence the witness gives is as clear, coherent, and accurate as possible. Working with a respondent is a much broader role. The intermediary is usually present for the entirety of the proceedings. He or she assists the respondent to follow what's going on throughout the hearing, including at case management hearings and issue resolution hearings, as well as when giving evidence. When working with a respondent, an intermediary will also assist during conferences, explaining complex concepts such as threshold. To do this, they may use a variety of communication skills and techniques, including visual aids. Visual aids can be the most effective way to explain concepts and complex information to vulnerable people. Even for the artistically challenged, creating a visual aid is possible because the most simplistic visual aid can be the most effective. Now, I know this has been a lot of information, so let's recap. Intermediaries love to recap. The role of the intermediary will differ depending on whether they are assisting a witness or a respondent, and the strategies the intermediary adopts will differ depending on the needs of that individual. However, their purpose in court is consistent: to facilitate accurate, clear, and coherent communication between the court and the vulnerable person.